I've started up the streaming. Adam will hopefully be here, but until then, some of us don't want to be here till midnight. So are any of you willing to nominate a chair pro tem until Adam is here?
This fine young man right here.
Way to go, Tom. Second.
So we've got a first, I guess, and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Tom? Okay, it's yours.
Good evening. Welcome to the planning.
Hey, Tom, can you turn your microphone on?
Thank you.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the July 1st Planning Commission meeting. Tonight, we have a few items. We just ask anything if it's heated or uncomfortable to discuss. Remember, we're just volunteers up here, and we do the best we can to get the information. Tonight, can we get an approval for the minutes dated June 17th? Oh, excuse me, the Pledge of Allegiance. I missed over that completely.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
My name's Tom Jett. I'll be chairing this meeting this evening. Can I get a motion for the approval of the minutes dated June 17th, 2025?
I move to approve the minutes from the last meeting.
Do I have a second?
I will second that.
Do I?
Aye.
A vote? Yeah, aye.
One favor.
Aye.
Okay, motion's passed. We have a public meeting, item number two, for an amended plat in Magnolia Fields at 1025 North, 3950 West. Daryl Brown or Watson, are you here this evening? I don't see either one. If there's no problem, if we can just move this forward to see if they're running a little bit
this
late.
This is a staff decision, so I don't think we need to do anything with it.
I just don't know what we're amending.
So we do need to hold public hearing. It would be good if the applicant's representative could say something for that. I guess if you would like to, I would suggest
we staff, do you guys
hold
know
it.
Anything about it?
We do know some things about it. I guess if you want us to do that, we could.
Yeah. That would be fine.
Okay. So this is in Magnolia Fields Phase 1. There are 1, 2, 3, 4 twin home lots, for a total of 8 homes that are currently platted along this side of this particular street. Just to orient everyone, 3900 West, we're just south of the canal that runs by the Equestrian Point. Anyway, so this is what they're proposing to do is to take those 4 twin home lots and replat those as 3 single family lots is what is proposed. And so they're proposing an amendment to the overall subdivision, and I thought I had that right here. Let me see if I just forgot to open it. Nope, I don't. Anyway, they're proposing to cover the whole boundary with an amended plat. The only change to the plat would be this area that's shown in red right there. So that's the proposal. So you wanna?
Are all other lots single-family homes, or just these 3, or how does that?
So what they have currently, there are the lots along Fern Street here are the twin home lots. The rest of the development is the single-family lots currently. And so, yeah, they're just taking that row of twin home lots and converting them over.
Both sides of the streets will be single, of that street will be single family.
Correct. Yeah.
So they're just reducing their density there.
Yeah.
That's correct.
That's a rarity. We don't see that very often. Staff, do you see any conflicts with doing what they're proposing?
I have no concerns.
Okay.
Public hearing?
Okay. Well, we're going to hold a public hearing now. Does anybody in the public have any questions or concerns regarding this matter? Seeing no one, close the public meeting, a public hearing, and move on. So we need to make
a staff decision.
So do we have a motion to give a...
We don't even need
you
to
won't
do
need
that.
A motion.
We don't have to do anything.
Yeah, it's just to hold that public hearing.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. I'm still relatively new at this, so please bear with me. Number three, a public hearing for an amended plat. That's another staff decision at the Cliffs at Sunrise subdivision at 2409 Arroyo Road. Plat. Anybody here?
If you'd like, I can speak to this one as well.
That would be awesome.
So there is one lot here in this part of the neighborhood that is still vacant, that they are proposing to split that lot between two other existing lots, this lot 23 and lot 20. And so this the lot line between 20 and 22 and the lot line between 22 and 23 would be obliterated, and lot 20 would end up including most of lot 22. There is a portion of that would go to lot 23. There are existing homes on both of those lots, so this the home that would be on this new expanded lot is already addressed. It's already existing. Their lot would just be extended to come around to where it would also have frontage on the cul-de-sac, this other cul-de-sac here.
Is there a home on lot 21? Do you know anything on 21?
I'm trying to remember. I'm not sure on that one.
That's the smallest of the lots, and I wonder if that homeowner would have any angst being surrounded by a great big lot.
Yeah.
Okay. So they've done all their notifications and sent out their notices to everybody?
So there's no radius notice, but all the property owners that are affected by the change, we sent a notice to. So that would be 2022 and 23A.
Okay. I'm going to ask a silly question. Where's the Cliffs?
It's up across from the ball fields.
Oh, okay.
They're at the end of that cul-de-sac to the north.
That's what that's called. Okay. I've always wondered, it's a beautiful area. So
there's no utilities, right-of-ways, anything there that would...
That's the Cliffs.
No, on those interior lot lines, there are no existing easements. So it ends up being pretty clean to just make the change without having to get into the vacation issue.
Does any of the board members have any concerns or questions? Staff, do you have any concerns or questions? Now I'm going to open up the public hearing for anybody to speak with regard to this matter. Anyone? Okay, seeing no one, we'll close the public hearing. Do we have a motion to...
Staff decision.
Yep. All right. Now we're going to have item number four, a public hearing for a zone change from residential agricultural, also referred to as RA, to residential estates, also known as RE. We're looking for a recommendation from this board for Iron Horse RDO, the development team. Anybody from the development team here tonight?
I don't know.
Man.
I think this one's a little more difficult for us to handle without them.
Okay, I don't see anybody here from the development team. Just staff know.
Four, five, and six are linked. And I think the three of us are kind of the same concern, that this is complicated enough that it might be helpful to have somebody from development team here.
I would think so.
It is still a public hearing, so you'll need to open it up regardless. Right. But so, I do worry this one might need to be tabled.
On number four, we're going to open the public hearing. Any questions? Four and five and six, that's correct. You have to step up to the mic and state your name. Yeah. If you're going to speak, you have to step up to the mic and state your name. It's, we're on camera and we have to...
Maybe you can fill us in on what this is about.
Well, to me personally, it seems like a bait and switch compared to what we were told as residents in this development up here. And it appears to me that it was a foregone conclusion that it's already been approved, because there's a proposed church property in that big blue area right
there's
now.
There's a pointer, or a little round pointer right to your left.
Yeah, this one?
A right? Yeah.
Got it.
Just point the button. Oh, there you go.
Right there, church property.
It's actually right there.
20,000 square foot church that was not in the original plans. And it's all graded already. It's been done. It's ready for the church to build. And that's been done for a while. There's two roads that will go all the way down to the Silver Silo. And I've seen a proposed plat map change on it. And they're talking high density housing right in here on 6,000 square foot lots.
So what is,
traffic?
I guess, I'm a little lost on what is your, oh, so your concern is traffic?
Traffic, infrastructure, directional of traffic, potential for property value declines. There's already two houses, a third one on Hidden Canyon that have been for sale for quite a while. There's three on Grace Lane that have been for sale, one of them for almost a year. People are now aware of what the potential changes may be.
Could you Google that so we can see where he's talking? I'm not familiar where all this is.
It's up behind the old the liquor store up in that.
It's area. In Saddleback.
There was always plans for high-density housing down towards the Silver Silo.
Okay.
And now they're trying to rezone it to build additional. And what we saw on that plat map when we saw it, and it hasn't been published yet, which is concerning to me as well. Why you're going for a zone change and you already have a plat map, at least a proposed plat map, and it's not available to us as home, and these folks are all homeowners as well. This meeting is in a holiday week, and it's not completely filled with residents yet, and it just seems like they're trying to get something done without the full awareness of the community that's already there.
This doesn't say they want to switch this to high
use.
Density. Well, it says here they want to switch it to residential estate. Aren't those 1 acre lots?
That's mixed use. 4, 5, and 6 are linked together.
Oh, mixed use. Yes, yeah. Thank you.
Including additional commercial, which is in addition to the original.
Okay,
design.
Now I'm getting it. I was more focused on four.
It's
but
a change to
grouping it.
Everything and the reasons we moved there at this point. And I think I'm speaking for these folks as well. So.
Okay.
So, and it's kind of baffling to me that there's not a representative here from Levitt Development. So.
And
it
used
to be called Hunt Levitt, and Hunt's leaving the organization because of some of this stuff.
So the only thing that I would request is everybody else in the audience, you will get your turn, but the recording just doesn't work very well if you're very far away. So, yeah, please do jump up, say who you are. That way we make sure we get other. I will let you know I did text somebody from the Levitt Group asking them why they don't have somebody here. I will let you know if I get an answer.
Perfect. Thank you. My name is Jarrell Saginson. I am a resident over at Saddleback Ridge. My address is 1770 South Hidden Canyon Road, Sears City. So I'm here to basically voice serious concerns about the proposed rezoning from RA to RE or mixed use in our neighborhood. While I understand the need for growth, this shift threatens the very qualities that make Saddleback Ridge a safe, family-centered community. Increased density means more traffic, especially at night. My wife and I have already seen a bunch of cars driving through that street at night. I have 8 cameras around my property. When we're already seeing, rising cars, speeding through our streets. With more cars comes more risk to our children. I have a 4-year-old daughter, and who should be able to play outside without fear, right? I'm sure most of you guys probably have kids and grandkids, things like that. We moved to Cedar City in search for peace, quiet life, and just a much slower pace. We came from St. George. St. George used to be this quiet, little, quaint little town. It ain't like that anymore. And you guys probably know that. Especially, I came from Ivins. Black Desert, thumbs down. So I think, kind of like what, the gentleman had said, more strain on infrastructure and often more opportunities for crime. And, that isn't just about the zoning issue. It's a safety issue, a livability issue, and a trust issue. And we moved here, as I mentioned, for peace, for space, and community, not to be surrounded by high turnover rentals or cut-through roads. And I urge this Planning Commission and City Council to prioritize thoughtful, responsible development that protects our family and not just expands our footprint and also for profit. Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you.
Anybody else?
Hi, everybody. My name's Catherine Demmer, and I live at 1813 Harvest Lane, South Harvest Lane. Kind of to piggyback off of what he said, not only is the parking a concern, but also when you go down the wormhole and you start researching, if you already have an existing neighborhood that has a standard and prestigiousness like Saddleback is and the neighborhood below it, statistically, and studies show that those are going to, if you bring in the high-density housing, the condos, the apartments, the rentals, it's going to bring down our property value. That's just what happens in neighborhoods like that. Same kind of scenario as them. I have almost a 4-year-old son, and the construction, the cars, I've had to call Iron County PD before. I've called a couple of, the Iron County office, the city council office, to complain about how fast the construction workers. I mean, and we've only lived there since November. So if this continues for years, I don't know what it's going to be like. And I come from an area where this happened, and it ruined the whole area. The renters, the turnover. The RA to MU is not only for just apartments and, small little houses. It's also can be commercial. So we could get a grocery store out there. Where's all the traffic going to go? That also impacts the school enrollment. Are they going to all go to Cedar Middle School? What elementary school are all these people going to go to? I don't think there's enough. I'm a work at the school. So where are these kids going to go? Enrollment's going to influx. And that's going to cause a lot of strain on schools and a lot of parents. The county lines, school lines change with all of that stuff. And I don't know if people have seen that here, but I have, and it drastically changes the school. So just for you guys to know, we have $1 million homes in our neighborhood. $1.45 million is the highest, $1.07 million, and $998,000. $960,000 and all in between. The lowest is $610,000. There is zero rentals in our whole neighborhood, and that is including the neighborhood below Saddleback. That existing neighborhood, which is beautiful. When we moved here, we looked in that neighborhood. There was not one house for sale because people want to live there. I mean, I do. We love our neighborhood. We love our community. But this is going to drastically ruin it and impact it. I mean, the residential estates, that's a whole different area. RA to RE, that's fine. Residential estates. But this, if you see on this map, for those that can't see, if you look at it, it's a huge portion. It's going to take over that whole mountain and all the way, like he said, to Silver Silo. So, I mean, the developers, I know why they're not here. It's money. It's money in the developer's pocket while ruining our quality of life. They don't live there. They don't see the construction. They don't see the mess. They don't see how the construction workers have talked to me, a woman. I've never been talked to the way I have by a male ever in my whole entire 38 years of life by these construction workers. It is absurd. And I didn't take it, and I won't take it. Why do we have trailers? We have a fifth wheel parked next to his house. I have it on my phone, Hidden Canyon and Grace Lane, an old fifth wheel. Are they hooked up to a generator? We would hear it. There's no generator running. Where are they dumping their black water? Are they living in that? Do we have construction workers living on our street now? I mean, this is absurd. Cedar City, you guys need to know about this. Because like I stated before, we come from a state where this happened. My childhood state, and I loved it. I never thought I would leave. And this is what happens. Money, money, money. Money ruins it. So just, I hope they think twice about this. And if you need any other further information, I mean, we'll be here. And that's it. Thank you so much.
Can I make a suggestion with things like that? Have you called the HOA?
Yeah, they don't call back. Oh. And I called the construction companies. I called everybody. I kind of said, told them that I'm the Beth Dutton of the neighborhood. So it's going to, like, I will fight my hardest. I have a son, and I don't want this. I want his childhood to be not like mine was.
Right.
So, and we're.
So far, Vermont's looking good.
Yeah.
If you guys are going to keep speaking, please come up to the mic.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Sorry.
So in a long tradition of what we've done here is we ask that if you have new thoughts, great. We just don't want people to rehash the same thoughts from the previous. So if you have new thoughts, that's great.
Well, mostly it's about what's going
Give
on.
Give us your name.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Gloria Demmer, her mom. Same address, 1813 South Harvest Lane. What we've been concerned, besides, you know, worrying about what's going to happen in the future, is that our street, we're at the very end of the street, and then it's a turnaround. All the cars, all the trucks, all the people that work there come down the street. They turn around in the dirty road, which hasn't been paved or anything, and it's just a big sandy mess. But besides that, it's the trash that's left from the construction workers. So if they're going to continue to build on up there, it's going to be trash all the time. They park the big dumpsters, and there's hardly room to get by because they're on both sides. So somebody has to wait. And it's usually the homeowners because those guys won't wait. They'll just keep on going, and we have to pull over. They're very rude. And like I said, the trash is the empty lots that are still there. They dump leftover cement, and it's just now the weeds are all growing up. When are they going to clean that mess up? The gutters are full of trash and dirt and big rocks. In order for the dirt to go away, you have to throw the rocks back into the park, into the lot. So it's just really sad because, like she said, we moved from a place where we wanted to get out of that state, came here. We've come to Utah for many years. I have relatives that live near Salt Lake, so we've been coming to Utah for 25 years. It's not new for us. But we chose Cedar City for its location, small town, and that development because it just seems so ideal for us. And now, you know, it's supposed to be the best place to live in Cedar City. They've taken that away. And if they're going to build more up beyond, it's just going to get worse and worse. So anyway, thank you.
Kent, I have a question for you. Oh no, it's for Kent. You're welcome to stand up there. But was there they say it's a dirt cul-de-sac. Is that just a temporary turnaround then, or is that going to...
That's correct. That is a temporary turnaround.
So that road will continue to another phase at one point?
That is correct.
Okay.
That was a question I was going to ask, too. So how far will it go, that road, to all this?
It'll connect into the canyon. Our road will go all the way down to Silver Silo. Your road will connect in Canyon.
Yeah, there's the road that comes over from by the Home Depot is what comes into the screen right here where I'm pointing. If you look at the screen there, right, that road is being developed to come on down around and past where the church is going to be built, and tie into Hidden Canyon. There would be from that point a road that continues. To the west that Harvest will tie into. Okay, that's about as much as I know. I don't know as well as the Levitts would if they were here. But yes, that is all to be connected together.
Okay.
Yeah.
Come up.
So, a couple questions, but
you have to state your name again.
My name's Jarrell. In Canyon Road. This is actually a video of my wife picking up garbage from these construction workers, like literally right in front of our neighbors. The guy, Mert, he came from Vermont. He moved here because of that desirable area, because of the culture that, you know, we've all built in Utah. And I think that's going to all disappear. To their point, like, if we look at the demographic, right, most of the people that are currently living in that area are, one, retired, two, people like myself starting to raise a family in a quiet area, and that's it. I have not seen any other type of demographic within that community. And the other two questions that I would have for, you know, Hunt Levitt would be basically, right here, I wrote it down. One is, what specific data-driven studies or such as traffic impact analyses or emergency response modeling or school capacity projection and crime trend forecast have they been conducted to ensure that rezoning from RA to mixed use will not negatively affect safety, infrastructure, and quality of life for existing Saddleback Ridge residents? And then the other question that I have for them would be, or for everyone, is how does this rezoning align with Cedar City's long-term master plan, and what measurable benchmark will be used over the next 3 to 10 years to ensure that the change benefits the community rather than just overwhelming infrastructure, reducing property values, and increasing transient population and crime rates? Because St. George crime rates had gone up in the past 5 years.
I'm sure.
I mean, numbers doesn't lie. So they can look at that, and they're going to do the exact same thing to Cedar City and moving forward up north, probably. Thank you.
So, Rondo, have we heard from any representatives from Levitt?
I only have a direct sell for one person. You guys will know him because he used to be in my position. He may have other things he's doing on a Tuesday night. He has not responded. My fear is in this case, because there are definitely questions that I think even we as staff had, I would encourage, it's not my decision, it's yours, that you table these items until we get enough information for you to be able to give a recommendation to the council.
Right. Well, let the rest of the public communicate their concerns. Please come up.
All right, my name's Shannon Whitney, and I echo what other residents have already stated, but I just have a few other comments. We were told when we built our house that the area behind us, which is our view and a huge reason we built where we did, would be agricultural for at least 10 years because of the way that they did the taxes. So to be living there for less than a year and have this proposed just feels like a major kind of switch that we probably would have chosen differently as far as where we were to build and to buy. I also am concerned, as I'm sure has been brought up just in past high-density planning meetings, about water resources, that we are depleting our aquifers faster than we're able to replenish them. And I think that's a huge concern. We live in the desert. So I just want that to be kept in mind as well. And that's all I have.
Thank you.
I just had one comment for council. I actually own a lot in Saddleback. I was one of the first buyers in Saddleback, and I'm building right now in Saddleback. So regardless, we probably don't have a quorum if I vote. So
at least assuming your opinion is tainted by that, then you're probably right.
It might be.
I'd just like to state a couple. I have that can be given to the record, for the record. I mean, Faith can take that. She helps keep the minutes of this meeting. And so first, let me thank you for being involved. And I wish this room was full all the time at all meetings, city council, planning commission, because what you have in front of you, where you go to in the evening, is probably your single largest investment you've ever made in your entire life. And so it's scary. But now let me just say this. Just because it's no one is proposing low quality housing. Sometimes low density can mean patio homes. Some of them up that Levitts have built, and I'm not here to advocate. They're $500,000-$600,000 beautiful homes, but they're just on smaller lots. So don't, when you go home tonight, think the worst that they're going to build high density, low income housing. That, you know, they're going to, the developers will build what they think the market will hold, and true to the value of the property. And where you live is a beautiful, beautiful location. So, does this board have any questions or concerns? I can state for one, I'm not comfortable moving forward without having input from the developer, the development team.
I would just like to commend you folks for coming out. Apparently we have a developer through maybe Air of His Own or No Air or whatever, but he doesn't show up to something that's critical to him, yet you people were able to find the meeting somehow through intuition or wizardry or whatever it might be. But if a developer doesn't even show the interest, maybe figures it's a slam dunk. I don't know. I'm kind of disappointed in the representatives of these developments this evening. They don't even bother to show up, just thinking it's all going to fall into place. So, come, sir.
I called off for work just to be here today. I'm not even at my daughter's swimming lesson just because I wanted to be here. My wife is there. So we basically divide and conquer today. And the fact that they're not even here just shows how much they truly care for people, right? They're all about money.
They may not have known or gotten mixed. I don't know.
There's errors that happen with organizations.
Why do they send the letter closer to the holidays?
Well,
when they know most people, there's not a lot of people that live in that community yet. And the fact that they mentioned this $1.5 million, that's actually probably not at the moment. Some of these houses probably are roughly over $3 million that are being built in that community at the moment. They're massive homes. And again, like for me, I'm all for being able to provide housing for people. And I think my concern, and most of them, is just safety, traffic, resources, and all those other stuff that comes with that. Because then that was not what was promised to us when we were building there and when we purchased the lot. And I think it's just very drastic that they changed it. And on top of that, they're the one who sent the letter. They're the one who made the date. And the fact that they could have blocked that date just so they could be here, but they didn't. And that just, for me, speaks volume.
And that was my point.
Right.
You guys made the effort.
I don't think there's anything sinister about the development team. They're a reputable.
Well, sure. One of the gentlemen lives in, Levitt lives in Saddleback Ridge.
He could be ill.
Ma'am,
he could be ill. He could have had a family emergency. There's 100 things that could have happened.
You're right. My name's Carrie. I live on Hidden Canyon. So there are two. I saw two signs posted that they had up throughout Saddleback Ridge, and one of the Levitts lives a little bit further down than what we do. And we moved here for the same reason these folks moved here. I could have had this. What's going proposed to happen where I moved from to Cedar City. This isn't what I signed up for. The hills that I walk my dogs in every single day are going to be gone because they're going to build houses on those. Well, I don't know when that's going to happen. The high-density homes is, that's why they're not here, because I think they think that this is a slam dunk. Well, I don't know.
Please understand, we don't judge, and this is for everybody. If it's a $3 million home or a $10 million home, or someone's renting, we're here to represent the people, give honest, fair input, and we don't judge people on class or wealth.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Well, we've had some of the input.
You have your spec homes. You have a lot of custom built homes there, and some of these, there's one home there that I know because I know the guy that's a part of it,
is a 13,000 square foot home. And that's not, that's, there are many very large homes being built. There's spec homes, there's custom homes. It's diverse. But I do think that, for one, it's a holiday week. On our street, there are very few people that live on our street. Why didn't they wait until a few more people moved in so we could all have a say in this?
Because they're trying to develop the rest of the subdivision.
Well, they have houses that haven't sold, and they haven't sold for a while, and they're still building more and more homes. So you got to give people a chance. We saw the plat map when we moved in. A lot of this stuff was not on it. Now it's all changing.
Again, I applaud all of you for coming and giving your input. We're not here to make judgment calls or anything.
Oh, I understand that.
We're just here to take the information and then
well, that's see what if I'm trying to give you,
and,
just my
and you are, and we appreciate it very much. I mean, very much. I wish more people would get involved in our community.
Sorry, we're late. I'm not sure what's been spoken. My name's Cindy Seeley.
You're getting 10% off your grade.
Okay. I'm sorry. I hope I'm not redundant. I would be interested to know something. I would be interested to know if there are feasibility studies that have been done that the city can support what needs to be done with the development to this size. For example, let me just give you an example of roads. I would say sewer and water, and also our school system. And if we can support it, one thing that has concerned me in coming here to Cedar City, I've only been here a year and a half, is that we have this rapid residential growth, but we have not developed the economic base to support our education system. And unfortunately, our last election, the school bond thing failed. The people of Iron County voted not to support the schools. If we need to keep the whole picture in mind, and that's what would be my question, have those studies been done?
So I can answer
just,
that.
Yeah, just for your information, we cannot, as a board, get into any school functions or size or location, or that's the district that.
No,
does
no,
that.
No. We, I'm not asking to do that. I'm just.
We
I'm
can't use
I'm
that
talking
as a
about
basis.
Being able to sustain the population that you are willing starting to put in, that you know that possibly that if this is approved and recommended to the city council, that you think this is a good idea. Do we have the studies that show that the city can do it? I don't know if this is hearsay or not, but I was told Man, that the frontage road I was told that the frontage road that runs along this, you know, the east of this development was to be developed all the way down to Hamilton Fort to be another access to the freeway, and that the city didn't have enough money to do it because you have to blast the rock. And so that kind of concerns me that if we don't have the money to do that kind of development to keep the city functioning well, I mean, do we have the money to widen Cross Hollow? Do we have the money to widen South Mountain Road? Do we, you know, to put in these kinds of infrastructure to support, can we afford to build another fire station?
So the city does not put in roads. That is paid for by the developers, in this example, be it the Levitts or any others. So
I appreciate that, but I didn't mention any of
the
roads. But they're not going to widen Cross Hollow.
Well,
they're not going to widen South Mountain.
That's not true.
So you're going to okay, this is a good point then. You're going to require the Levitt Group to pay for the widening of Cross Hollow and South Mountain?
No, I didn't say that. I said the developers of the land around it, according to city ordinance, and this gentleman in the blue shirt runs our engineering department, and he helps design systems, be it water lines, sewer lines, roads, to make sure that we have adequate flow and traffic counts and so forth, and then we pass it on to the developers to say, okay, this road has to be 66 feet wider. This road has to be 166 feet wide, whatever, that doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. But, you know, for this much traffic, and then we pass it on in our master plan.
Sure.
For that to be done. But it doesn't all happen at once. We don't build 66-foot roads if three homes live out there. Because, remember, Cedar City has grown almost 100% in the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. And so this part has grown, and this part has grown, and so forth and so on. And so the developers, as they go out there and they purchase more property, they have to widen the roads and so forth and put in more adequate water lines and sewer lines that are upsized. And then when you built your home, I presume you built your home, or somebody in here built their home, there's impact fees, and then we pass those funds on to help the developers increase the size of the lines for people that are going to be up farther up the line to adequately. But this doesn't all happen with the wink of a stick or the wiggle of a nose. So, and it takes time. It really does.
That's what our concern is. I happen to come from a city up north called South Jordan.
Mm-hmm. They went through the same problems as we are.
No, they didn't, because they had a city manager who had the vision to sustain the growth economically and to be able to do it fiscally within the city to provide services and means. And as a matter, I mean, his name was Gary Walcott. And he has won awards because of his vision. And I'd like to see that for Cedar City. Not that we necessarily have to win awards, but that the whole picture gets looked at so that we don't get in a problem where we don't have enough grocery stores, we don't have any large economic support to help build our tax base so that we can have money to fund all of the things that we'd like to make available in Cedar. And so, Mr. Fugel, I'd like to ask you, what is your opinion of this rezoning?
I would like to make some comments on this, see if I can clear up some things from what has been said. First off, let me start with the fact that everything that is proposed here with these zone changes is what was anticipated and included in the RDO, when the RDO came through, right?
So, excuse me, just as a lay member of the community, if you use acronyms, there may be people not knowing what that means.
Don, why don't you take that part, and then I'll talk about the rest.
So just a little history and background. So this entire Iron Horse, as it's known, Iron Horse Development, this plan was approved by the City Council, and I would say in 2020 or 2021. To simplify things, I look at the RDO, which is a residential development overlay, is what it stands for. It's kind of like a small general plan. It's more of a master plan. And what it does, or what it did, is it would take the densities that were anticipated in the original general plan at the time, and it provided a density bonus, so to speak. So the plan could take a total amount of units, as an example, and kind of mix and match them to try to develop a cohesive plan that would have your low density, some higher density, as well as commercial to support the rooftops as they come. You know, the commercial will usually chase the rooftops that are coming out of the ground as we speak. At the time, this plan included all of our master plan roads, water transmission lines, sewers, et cetera. It has our master plan trails in there. And keep in mind, these master plans, you know, when you see a line on a master plan that's just straight across a bunch of mountains or something like that, or cliffs and topography, like 2600 South, you know, it has to work its way around to make these connections from point A to B and eventually to C and D as we move forward. So this mixed use designation that is of the utmost concern here originally was kind of an open-ended zone. It was designed to see what, in my opinion anyways, it was designed to see what the market would do, right? What will, if you take bureaucrats like myself out of your business, what would happen, right? Over the years, typically what we got were townhome-type products and things like that, and that was due to market cost and housing demand, right? We have modified that zone to a certain degree. We've reduced some of those maximum densities and tried to push it more towards what we'd call a true mixed use. And you can think of mixed use as even what you see right here in downtown Cedar, where you have maybe commercial at grade, shops, restaurants, and potentially units above. I don't know what the Levitts have as far as a subdivision plan out here. I have not seen it. There is a master plan road that goes right through this mixed-use zone. I believe it's a 55-foot master plan road. So they're here. Well, they're not here, but the proposal was to try to align this zoning designation with that original RDO, which you can see online. It's on our zoning map. I imagine most of you guys have clicked around and seen it, even talking with the developers. But that's the background of where we are today. Is that it? Does that help?
And then let me address some of the infrastructure issues that you talked about. So yes, with the RDO agreement in place, and that is an agreement between the city council approved with the developer that established this. So it's a development agreement on the property. With that, there was a lot that was known about what the future of this property would be. All of our master plan work for our streets, for storm drainage, for water, for sewer, for the whole, all of those infrastructure issues, that master planning was done with these changes in mind, because this was always part of the plan, what's being presented. So I'm not too concerned about that. We will still, as we go through the phases with them, we'll still be looking for, okay, are there things that have changed that we need to remodel something on the water system or something like whatever that might be, right, to make sure that that we have the infrastructure to support what goes in. Also commented about, some of the master plan improvements, such as bringing Providence Center Drive on down around and connecting it to something other than just Talon Drive. And yes, that is something that it's going to cost money. It's hard for developers to build that road because there's not developable property where that needs to go through. As we are in, we're in the process right now of updating our impact fees, our impact fee facility plans for the various types of infrastructure. And then our impact fee consultant will take that information and come up with the new calculations of what those impact fees should be, and that'll be presented to City Council. Well, as we've been going through that process, we've been identifying where do we have roads that need to be built to support what's going on that aren't likely to be built by developers, that being a key one. And so that was one of the things we emphasized in what we sent back to our impact fee consultant is we've got to get this one in there. Right, and we had some estimated costs associated with that we gave to the consultant. So we're trying to push all these issues forward through our master plans, through our impact fee program, to try to get all that infrastructure in place.
Are you with the Levitts?
No, I'm with her.
Oh.
So my name is Steve Seeley. I talked with Drew and—
State your name again.
Steve Seeley.
Okay, thank you.
And talking with Drew last week, similar to what was said, that this is part of the master plan that was proposed with the RDO, but we have seen changes to their plan, even in the last year, changes with the LDS church that's going in, changes to some of the roads, and knowing what was there before, when I've looked at the maps that you have on the website, that's different than the maps that we've gotten from the Levitts originally when we first purchased our land, and different today. So concerns that we have is this RA to MU, because it's open-ended, can it change yet again? And we're sort of blindsided by it. That it's easy for somebody to say, oh yes, we're only going to put in this type of development, but without somebody keeping them in check, somebody else can come along and say, oh no, we believe now that the market will support this other type, and we have no recourse. And I think that's somewhat what Cindy was saying, that it's, if we had that crystal ball that could tell us what the future is, well, we probably wouldn't be here, would be on a beach somewhere. But how do we make sure that we keep, and I'll say this for me, the Cedar City that I want. And I'm sure you all, as public servants, that's why you're doing what you do.
Can I stand by
it? Sure.
I could say that there would be people that I would call old-timers who probably didn't want to welcome us to the neighborhood. They didn't want to see Cedar grow. And I think I've seen that spoken to me since I've been here, and I can appreciate that. But people keep coming. They like what Cedar City has to offer. And so I think as a planning commission, it would be my hopes in that I don't know which one of you represents me.
Hopefully we all appointed? Do.
Okay, we represent the community, not one individual, not the developer.
Okay. We don't have a district or anything.
All right, so I am.
We're just volunteers.
I would hope that with that RDO, that it not be constantly revamped. Now, I'm not opposed to rethinking something, but revamped just to match somebody's new idea, that we actually do have a plan and that they're held to it, and that those of us who have invested and brought our lives and our families here, we are not surprised every time a developer wants to do something different, and that we have to come and say, wait a minute, what's our overall plan? Are we just going to keep, you know, building and building and building and not have the infrastructure in place yet? That will really hurt the city. I'm really concerned. I was shocked here about the economic development here. We need it to support our city. And I know that's not your job. I know it's not your job. But I would think as citizens of this community, you would consider all of these things when you start talking about planning and allowing changes of this nature. Now, I believe that if they own the land, they should have the freedom to do what they want. But we all have to be considered.
Yeah.
And we just want to make sure, it was my understanding, there would still be residential estates in this area. There would still be single family homes in this area. It was spoken, but not written. This is for everybody else here. It was spoken, but not written, that there would continue to be residential homes all the way down, and that the high density housing would still only be on the other side of the hill, over where they're doing the development by Smith's, because there was a deal cut with Smith's Market, or, you know, the Kroger group, that a deal, and I know this is how it works, but that a deal was cut with them, that if they came in, then there would be so many, they had to guarantee so many customers, and this is one of the ways that they're doing that.
Well, we have, I can tell you, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Then how come you haven't called and talked to the engineer?
I don't mean to put you on the spot, but has anybody else here
called and talked to the engineer to find out what their plan is?
Ma'am, we didn't know what the subject matter was until...
You got here?
No, until a couple, three or four days ago. This is why, you know, people come and make a presentation to us and go in. Our job it has a limited scope.
I know you make recommendations to city council.
We do.
And so I appreciate you being willing to listen to me. And I hope that as the Planning Commission that I appreciate the Levitt Group.
You wouldn't have a subdivision if it wasn't for the Levitt Group.
Understood. That's why I'm saying I appreciate them. I'm grateful for the opportunities they've given us in being able to live in the city. And I've had some run-ins with them, and they've acted with integrity with us. And so I don't have a problem with that. But I do hope that you will take all of these things into consideration.
We do. Yeah. None of us are judging or anything.
No.
We're just here to listen.
But
to
I
them,
haven't but. Heard anything about requiring a feasibility study.
That's not something that
it's not
that
something
is, or recommend. That is, can you recommend a feasibility study?
I've never heard of doing that before.
That's essentially what the master plans were. That has already been done. We're not going to do feasibility for things like schools because that's out of the city's jurisdiction. But yes, the other stuff has been done.
So, is there anybody else that has anything to say so we can close this meet? Just if you'd come up, just make it real quick, please.
William Davis. So what's the process from here?
Well, I'm gonna make a recommend. Well, I'm gonna ask for a motion on this that we table it at this point.
Table it
because until the Levitts are able, or the development team representatives are able to come and give their side of what they're trying to accomplish here. We can't. It would be unfair, just like if you were sick and we said, hey, well, let's just skip over you.
I can appreciate that. But as Jarrell pointed out earlier, this letter that we received as homeowners up there came from Brent Drew, representative.
He's a very honorable man.
I know he is. I've met him. He's a gentleman. There's no doubt about it. But it didn't come from this body. It came from them. Why wouldn't they? It was their meeting.
Someone could be sick. Someone could have had a family
There's
emergency.
Multiple representatives in that company.
Yeah. Right. Well, yeah. I mean, life happens sometimes. This isn't the first time this has happened with
and I'm not
developers.
That point. What I'm just asking, what is the process moving forward?
I'm hoping this body, since we don't have a representative for the development team, will table this matter, and then ask the Levitt team to. Probably in this, can we ask them to resend out notice since they did not show up?
The way we've typically done it is not requiring new notices if you set a date certain today.
Okay.
So if you let them know exactly which next hearing you're going to do it on, we have the 15th, and then we're into August? I'm assuming we don't have one on the 5th?
Yeah, and we received 10-day notification prior to this meeting.
That's ordinance. Yeah. So can we...
So that would be, if you table it, please include in your motion whether you wish to do it for July 15th or August 5th would be our next one.
Well,
so that way everybody here would know exactly what that date is.
The 15th is after the holiday season. Is that enough time to give them, or should we move it?
So. Yeah, the next meeting would make sense.
These people were given 10 days. Give the Levitts 10 days.
Yeah.
So I'll make up.
Yeah, I guess I was just pointing out to me that that some of the signs that are posted within the development have a date changed on it.
Have a date change?
Yeah. Today, the 16th now.
The 15th or 16th?
It said, can you guys hear me? Kathy, Denver. There you go, sorry. So it says planning commission date 5/15, July 1st. That's today.
Okay.
Then it says underneath that, here's the picture. This is what's posted in our neighborhood. City council date 5:30 p.m., July 16th. So is that a different meeting than this meeting?
Yes. That's a different meeting.
Yes.
We make a recommendation which goes to city council usually 2 weeks after.
Those signs that are put up by staff.
Okay.
We'd be happy to go change those dates.
So just ignore the July 16th date.
Well, that will be city council.
This will not come
before city council, because I would make a proposal that we table this, that we set it back to the 15th, that we have the Levitt Group come and explain why somebody in a multi-faceted employee, they obviously have more than one person that could come. Yeah, I think maybe lake sickness or something. I don't know the reason. I'm good friends with the Levitts. I'm sure they have a reason. I would, as a planning commission, like them to explain to these people why they didn't come. These people did. And you will probably have to come back, and we've heard your side of the story. I would like to hear theirs, and then
Randall,
have them give a justification. That was my proposal, that we move this on to the 15th.
It's a good proposal, Randall. Can it still be on the January? Can it still be on the 16th?
For council?
The city council?
No. Likely not.
Okay.
The difficulty is that not only do
I'm trying to figure out. So everybody's on the same page here.
Yeah, sorry. Let us finish the conversation. So typically, timing-wise, is once you guys make a positive or negative recommendation, engineering then hands it off to me.
Okay.
I then send it down the road to have it properly published for the public hearing before the council. The 16th would have worked had we had enough information for the Planning Commission to make a thumbs-up or thumbs-down recommendation today. It clearly is not happening.
Okay.
So I don't know of any reason why we would try to expedite it.
I'm trying just.
But we typically don't.
So there's no confusion here.
Because I hate to have it go to the council without the minutes from this meeting going with it. And that would work for this meeting, but we're not going to have the minutes from the 15th meeting to hand to the council for them to have that on their minds beforehand. Because what is said here, just so you know, goes in the council's packets the Monday morning before that meeting. And so they're allowed to read everything that's been summarized about what you guys have said. That can really help them in making their decisions, because they get your input even before you come to the meeting, the council meeting, because you've given it here today. That's the main purpose of this meeting, is to get that input moving towards the council.
Do you see any problems on the city side making it happen on the 15th?
I don't see any right coming.
As far as
we're as ready as we can be, needing to have some of these same questions answered. Okay.
That was my proposal, that we move it to the 15th.
Perfect.
And at that meeting, I would like the Levitts to explain why they were not here.
And I'll leave that to them. I mean, obviously,
I'll present it to them. I know them very well. I grew up with them.
But it sounds like
those people.
So what are some
time
of the
off.
Council's questions?
Everybody's here.
We're gonna close the public meeting at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah, to make it quick. Do you have to come up here?
Come to the microphone.
My name is Jarrell. So the question I do have is, since life happens, they didn't end up showing here today, probably golfing somewhere, might be cool. But what if none of the residents shows up on the 15th? Will we get the same treatment that they did?
Will we cancel it?
You on the record right now, and you will have the right to come and, if it's new information.
No. The question that I do have is, you know, like how we can't make decision, or whomever makes the decision, since they're not here and it's going to get tabled. Will it be the other way around?
We can't. That's impossible to do that. Then they don't show up, then you don't show up, and it would be on in perpetuity. And it we is don't the, play gotcha here.
It is the reason why when we have these and we know we have the table and we open the public meeting still. So that way, for those of you, I know this is a huge inconvenience. Heck, it's an inconvenience for us. We all want to be home, too. We get that. That's why you're allowed to speak, even though they're not here, is because right. we want to make sure we get your input. Whether you have to give it a second time, again, it probably comes down to whether you have new information. If you bring new information next time, we absolutely want to hear it. If it's the same thing, it may not move the ball very far, but that is why you were allowed to speak here today and why we're announcing to you today when that date is,
right.
so that you can decide, can you make it, not make it?
So last question. Since we are running through like this petition letter, right, and a lot of the people that are currently building in the community probably don't live there yet, and a lot of the people that are there could not make it today, when and where do we submit the letter of petition? I have a bunch of them.
I mean, really, in the end, as soon as you think it's done and prior to the meeting, you want to make sure it's considered at.
Did they present it at the meeting on the 15th? Bring that and present it at this
if
meeting?
You wish.
You could do it at city council.
We definitely want it on the record. I'm a little irked at the way this was presented. I don't know the reason. They have a good reason, and
so I'm going to beg to bring it back. We have a motion to table it.
So do we have a second?
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion passed.
Please come back and state your case and whatever.
And if I could just say this, you guys have all shown an interest in our community, which I applaud you. And if you want Cedar City to remain being a good place, organized, clean, healthy, safe environment, don't stay home and watch and Dance with the Stars. Come to our city council meetings. Come get involved in our planning commission meetings. I sit in that front seat for 27 years now every week to participate. And I have other stuff to do, but I want to be involved. And I don't want to just be involved in my neighborhood. You need to be involved in every neighborhood in our city and be involved. And being involved doesn't mean negative or hating something. You can just give something that other people haven't thought, because I assure you, the men and women that develop this city and the men and women that sit on our city staff, we don't know everything. We don't have to always agree, but civil discussion is wonderfully important.
You did good, folks.
Thank you.
July 15th is the next meeting?
July 15th at 5:15.
5:15 here.
Invite your friends.
All right.
Move on to the fun stuff.
The mayor has a
short.
I wanted to take a minute.
State your name.
My name's Garth Green, and I'm the mayor of Cedar City. And I'm making some changes on this commission. And I just wanted to come tonight and express appreciation personally to Mr. Adam Hahn, who has served now 8 years.
Well, I want to apologize for being so late.
Yeah, there you go. Same problem as the Levis. So he's a little more forgiving tonight than some others. But, you know, that's a long term. He served as the chairman for a long time, I think at least 4 years.
I think so.
And I just wanted to express appreciation to him.
Thank you, Mayor.
Now, I have called and will be submitting to the city council tomorrow night the name of Jason Burgess. He's here in the audience tonight, and I'm proposing that he serve on as a new member. Now, I think you will elect amongst yourself who your chairman's going to be. I don't do that. I just fill seats. That's all I do. But thank you very much, man.
Thank you, Mayor.
Mayor, is the other member, the city councilman that sat on this commission, is that going to be ratified?
Well, apparently he's absent because you guys already discussed it, and he thinks he's done. But it's on the agenda tomorrow night.
So we will be getting another meeting.
Whether they will do it, yeah, you'll have another meeting, and so they'll have 2 weeks to they'll put it on for the next meeting, and then in 7 days from tomorrow they'll vote on it. And once they vote on it, then it'll be changed. But if they're trying to, the motion is on the agenda to not have a member of the city council on this commission, but to.
And then you will appoint another.
And I'll need to appoint one more.
Okay.
That's my job. Yep. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Now for the exciting stuff. All right.
Good night, Mayor.
I'm back with the changes from the state. They want to have engineering standard revisions adopted by ordinance through a public hearing, no longer a resolution. We've also, while we opened up this section, we made some changes that we felt were needed. And Kent, I know you described this very well, so.
Okay, so a couple of things on this. In that top part, 32.9B, that's that's where we are saying that we'd be doing this by ordinance and through a public hearing process. We get down below, and we had some, also the wording that was in there was that the departures from our engineering standards would go to city council for a variance. We're proposing, and for you to consider and recommend to the city council, we're proposing that that be something that the city engineer is authorized to do. That takes us down to the 3.1 in our engineering standards, where we talk about that the engineering standards, you know, define those design requirements for public improvements. We wanted to strengthen the language there as to a couple of things in relation to our standards. So we're saying these standards are intended to address design and construction issues that are commonly encountered in development and city infrastructure projects. Circumstances could arise that are not contemplated by these standards. In such cases, the exercise of professional engineering judgment by the design engineer and city engineer is required to arrive at the appropriate engineering solutions. What we're basically saying is there's no way for our engineering standards to be so comprehensive that nothing could come along that doesn't fit, right? We have to come up with solutions to issues that come up on individual developments with their individual circumstances. And so we've tried to address that with the proposed wording here.
Have we had this issue since you've been here?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. And our only recourse right now is to go to city council for a variance.
Okay.
And so we're trying to modify that, empower staff to be able to work with the developers, engineers, to come up with appropriate solutions and move those forward.
I think it's wonderful.
So that's what's proposed here.
Okay. So this is a recommendation. Public. Any comment on this matter?
So this will be for city items number 1 and 2.
Oh, okay. So may I step back? Adam, do you wish to take over the meeting at this point?
Yeah, that's completely
because
up to
I'm
you.
Going to be stepping down in just a minute here for a couple other issues.
Okay. All right. Absolutely.
So this is a public hearing.
So this is items 2 and 3. Your list is or 1 and 2.
1 and 2.
Your list is a recommendation, but it's a public hearing. Okay. All right. Again, I apologize for my tardiness. I have nothing but excuses, so I apologize. this is a public hearing for these items 1 and 2. Is there anybody here who would like to speak to this item? All right. Seeing none, we will close the public hearing. Commission, do we have a recommendation that we'd like to make?
I'll make a positive recommendation on items 1 and 2 on the city items of the Planning Commission meeting.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second for a positive recommendation. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right, item number 3, this is an ordinance text amendment. This is for discussion only. This is not a voting item.
So can I stay sitting up here?
Absolutely can.
Okay.
It's a discussion item on this one, so okay. You're totally good to be up there.
So you want me to address it?
Of course.
So I don't have a project in mind for this, but this did come up in a conversation that I heard where the new Starbucks is going on the North Interchange area. And and it cost the developers quite a bit more money, and it took quite a bit more time and set them quite a bit further back, which caused them some economic damage. And when I said why, they explained to me that there's rules that dictate what type of materials they can use on the facade of the building on Main Street and 200 North. And I thought to myself, wow, I don't know if I'm comfortable with the city being the arbiters of aesthetics and so forth. And so I said, well, this is something we should probably bring before Planning Commission, even City Council eventually, to have a discussion. What is the role of our city as it relates to building materials and aesthetics or a building? So that's why I brought this matter to your attention. Don, do you? Don and I have had some brief conversations on this. Don makes some reasonable points. Now, one thing that in this conversation I need to state is I don't want to turn our downtown historic zone into metal buildings and stucco and you know, 2x4 sticking out and so forth. I'd like that probably to kind of be off the agenda, but if board members feel that should be part of the conversation, then it should be part of that conversation. So I guess what I'm asking is, what does the board members feel about the city having a policy that dictates what type of materials you can use for your aesthetics on your building?
Don, correct me if I'm using it wrong. This is the first time.
All right. Well, it looks like Don has a slideshow here.
Yeah, let's do it.
So let's let him
run. Is it better than the sign one?
No.
Maybe. all right. Thank you, Chair, members of the commission. So, as I understand it, Tom would like to remove these building material requirements, which basically apply from on Main Street and 200 North through Highway 56.
I'm not sure if I said I want to remove. I think that we just need to figure out what the role of our city is as it applies to.
No, fair enough, Tom.
The use of material.
Certainly could have misspoke. So, before we talk more about changing this ordinance, I thought we might even see what the general plan has to say, which I'm sure everybody's read cover to cover, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Next slide. So general plans are full of goals and objectives. And this was, a 2-year-long process. Jet, you were even on the committee.
I was.
And we arrive at what the community's vision is for the future of the city. So, one is regulate setbacks, landscaping, art, appropriate lighting, et cetera, for new development through the zoning ordinance. You can throw the next slide on, Kent.
You just have to remember that meeting 2 years ago, it was like eating an elephant. It was a big, big bite to absorb.
It was a long, long process. Yes, yep. It was. Community design, we have a whole chapter devoted to design. Cultural and aesthetic enrichment are hallmarks of Cedar City. These factors combine to produce a community identity that is often the envy of cities throughout Utah. And we had a Vision 2050 committee, which I think even started before I started working here for Cedar City. And community character was one of those components. So when we talk about aesthetics, and I get the point, well, we don't want to regulate someone's aesthetics, but planning in your general plan, part of what is Cedar is the character of Cedar and what Cedar City ultimately looks like. And a big way that people interact with their city is through what they see with their eyes and what they can interact with, right? Next slide. These are more goals and policies. Identify architectural and other visual qualities that will contribute to the understanding of the city's unique identity within Iron County. Another objective is identify unique architectural design, natural features, land use activity, and other characteristics that are desirable for the preservation and emulation of identifiable areas such as the downtown core. You mentioned that, Tom, that might be a more important consideration, I would agree. And then it also says allow the consideration of alternative design and building materials where appropriate rather than implementing excessively rigid requirements or restrictions. That's kind of what where we're at a little bit as well. Next slide.
The general plan identifies area-specific opportunities, and it specifically indicates high design standards along the historic Main Street. Next slide, please. So now we get to our current ordinance. So
Don,
we can't
back up here. Yep. When we call it historic Main Street, are we referring to that basically from 200 South to approximately the south side of the post office when we describe historic Main Street?
You could. That's probably a subjective question.
Yeah.
We do have a line on our zoning map that talks about the historic downtown core, which is more expansive than that.
Okay.
And I think if we are considering design, and you've seen this in some other meetings where some folks just to the south of 200 feel a little left out of all the things.
I am one of those folks.
All the things that we want to do with the downtown, including landscaping and aesthetics and benches and things of that nature. So I think, in my mind, it can be broader than that. I think your historical structures, though, are right, mostly right where you just stated.
Just looking for clarification.
Yep. And so what this ordinance is, it's not a architectural control. It doesn't control the bulk and mass or form of the buildings and tell you have to have undulations or porches or things of that nature. It just talks about what the materials should or should not be. And that, again, 200 North and Main Street on the front facade. I interpret that as even if the back of your building is facing Main, that's our concern, is what does it look like from Main? What do people that visit Cedar City, what do they see? Why do they want to come back? What is the character of the community? Next slide, please, Kent. And the ordinance, honestly, probably does need some work. I think it's convoluted to a certain degree, but it talks about preferred materials and accent materials, and then it talks about discouraged. That language is kind of meaningless, but it does say that preferred is required and discouraged is prohibited on those two streets that we're talking about. It talks about more traditional materials, quarried stone, full brick veneer, lap siding, things like that, stucco when it's appropriate. And then it says prohibited, even though it says discouraged on these streets, are things like metal walls, wood or glass when used more than a functional purpose. I think that's subjective as well. And so we didn't have much time to chew on this, so we were thinking here's a couple suggestions shooting from the hip. You know, maybe give an objective amount for stucco. Metal walls has been difficult. There's so many new materials out that may be metallic, but may look like precast concrete. It's got score lines. It's got a lot of EFAS treatments have a whole different look, even though they may be metallic. I think the real intent is when we read this is that we don't end up with an industrial bolt together building on Main Street. That is the intent, whether we agree with it or not. I tend to agree. So I think we could do some work on this. Obviously, we're going to take our advice from the commission. That's what this discussion's all about. Where would do you guys want to see it loosened up, more stringent? I mean, most cities on their main boulevards, they're going to have pretty significant architectural controls to keep their main streets looking the way they in what their vision is in their general plan and probably their historical nature. Could you throw the next slide, Kent? So here's a couple examples of some buildings that I think probably hit the strike zone perfectly on what these requirements are shooting for. The State Bank, and I forget the businesses that are in this little strip mall type development, but it's got a lot of relief. It's not just a stucco box. It's got the cultured stone and things of that nature. This, in my mind, is what those standards are driving at. Next slide. This is what they're not striving for. So if we had no controls, and I've been dealing with an architect on a building we had a project review. I wish I would have thrown the slide in. He suggested that I do. He has a metal building like this with the exception of a pitched roof, and we're going back and forth on trying to make it look a little bit better. Which is difficult to do when you've got a prefab building.
Easy idea.
Um,
we have an
Anyways, I think that's next slide, Kent. And I threw these in just for fun. Some of the extremes that you can see, I don't see that coming to Cedar any.
You know that top one is for brain doctors?
I thought it was an outlet mall.
It's a brain. It's for brain surgeons, neurological brain.
You can see why.
Maybe you have a headache before you walk into the building, and you get more business. So these are the things that are on the table, and
they get you in the building, and you can't get out.
And so we are looking for advice. If the commission sees some changes necessary, any direction you would like us to go, or go nowhere. That concludes my presentation.
I guess my first question to this body is just a black and white question: is it the city's job to be the arbiter of what your building is going to look like on your private property?
Yes.
When you are a representative of Cedar City, and what people see when they come in, and you know, and you're looking out for that, I think yes.
Yeah, okay. I'm afraid that if
Cedar City, I don't want it to be ugly.
I understand that people want to have their free choice to do with their land what they want, but when it affects the entire city. I mean, your house doesn't affect the entire city, so that's why I don't think
it does, because I live in it.
So I don't think that, you know, that's why we allow so many, you know, so much variance in houses, is because, you know, everybody's taste is different. But when it comes to the commercial districts and the way that people view our city, I think it's important to have guidelines.
We need a standard.
We absolutely do, because the problem is if you don't set a standard, people will shoot low, and you will end up with blight.
I asked that question to where, if we even further the discussion into the future, to versus us furthering having the discussion, you know, I'd like to see us change and modify and tweak and twist, because this could be, computers change all the time. I remember the Apple IIe, that was state of the art.
Yeah.
And now we go, you know, and
architecture changes.
Can remember those days.
Right, architecture changes. John, there's been massive changes in the way the architecture's been done in the last, 20 years. But it doesn't mean that it creates blight. The problem with removing regulation is that you end up with somebody buying a piece of property on Main Street and putting something up that's very cheap and just very unattractive, and it's there forever until somebody else comes in and decides that they want to change it. And so I think that the potential harm is outweighed by, that I think that we have to take that more serious than we
look talking, at the, we're talking main access, these main streets. That the glass company out by the prison is a metal building.
Yep.
It fits in there. There's a place for it.
Absolutely.
It's where it should be, and there's no
absolutely.
There's no angst for that. But to have that building sitting where the former bank is would be terrible.
We're just finishing up my new warehouse, and it's a metal building. It's completely functional for my company, but it does not belong on Main Street. Absolutely. Does not belong on Main Street. Would it be good for my business, for my image to have a building on Main Street with my company name on it? And would it, yes, absolutely. It would be better for my company to do that. But the way that I built that building is not conducive to the look and image of what Cedar City should be. And so if I wanted to put it on Main Street, it should be nicer. It should be beautiful. It should be reflective of our town.
Of your kingdom.
Yeah, and not, but it's not, so I put it on Horse Alley.
Yeah.
Right? So, and it's completely functional, and it's great, and I love it. But So anyway, in my opinion, I think that the city absolutely has to have some standards. I wanted to ask Don, when did these standards go into effect? Because I know that there's some buildings on Main Street that are metal buildings.
I don't know when they were put into place. And I certainly recognize that we have a lot of buildings that don't meet these standards, and these standards were not applied, even though they were on the books.
Mm-hmm.
Part of that's, and I can even blame myself for that too. Part of it is not being aware. I think part of it was just lack of staffing, and where do you pick your battles, right? And so I think it's a good discussion. And I think we could do some work on making more sense out of what we see here. And this is just my thoughts. I'll take direction from the commission. The way I've applied it, and the way I see it is that the intent is, to your point, we have a good-looking building. So dealing with folks, I've been somewhat liberal with and say, hey, what does it look? Does it look like these materials? Does it emulate these materials? That's how I've applied it. I think we can put that in the ordinance. In some cases, I think we should even go further. You know, if someone's not going to front their building on Main Street and put the back of the building just a flat facade, I think those facades should be broken up. I don't know if that's overreaching for Cedar. Landscaping can go a long ways on these things. We are struggling with that, even with state requirements. So I think there should be a bare minimum, so we don't end up with the tin facades and lack of enforcement. It's quite visible. I agree with you. But this is a chance to, if this is where the commission wants to go, and in my opinion, the general plan supports it, to maybe tweak these, get them back in front of the city council, make it more front and center, potentially make it more objective, which is always really hard to do when you're talking about design, right? And these, but we can try to keep it down that road, and if that's what the commission wants.
Yeah, and obviously I don't speak for everyone, and I'm, you know, very short-lived on this commission, but it is my opinion that this... the city should have standards on our main streets. The city should have standards to where we don't allow certain types of construction.
So could I make a recommendation that we table this matter to the 15th and possibly the meeting after that? Just to hash it.
But, really...
Are we going to give input on materials, or are we just going to leave that to Don to be the arbiter of the materials? That's what I'm asking.
My thought would be, if you want to continue the discussion and maybe the commission wants to sleep on things and bring their own ideas, then the 15th would be just fine. If you want something for a public hearing and something to look at and vote on, I would ask to give us till August. We've got a lot of things to get done this July here.
I don't know of any particular projects in mind as it relates to this. That just brought it up to, maybe we need to bring this and have that discussion, because we have to grow with, ordinances have to grow with the community and different materials. And, you know, well, I remember shag carpet was all the rage.
The vision of materials, like Don stated, they're going to change. You could put up a metal building 10 years from now and you wouldn't even know it was metal. These building, those examples, as building techniques change, we need to grow with that, but right now we just need to have a standard. This is kind of the vision of what we want these main thoroughfares to look like, and then if they can find materials that fit those standards and they're cheaper or better or whatever. You know, you can do anything with plastic. I think if it wasn't for plastic, we'd all be running around naked. So
it sounds to me from what you're saying that most of the commissioners here aren't comfortable with the idea of eliminating building material regulation on these major routes, right?
Right.
But I guess if there are things that, as you look at the list, I think if you can, if you guys can spend some time, just kind of go through the list and say, does that item belong on that list? Does that item belong on that particular list, right? And see if there are things that you would suggest to us that we look at on this. That would help us as staff to try to, come forward with something for consideration later or not. If the majority of the commission feels like no, it's great the way it is, then maybe there isn't a change. But I think that's really what we need to know as staff, right?
I would propose that we give it till, what do you want, Don, the first meeting of August, the second meeting of August? I don't want to crunch your, because I know you have other stuff on your pipeline. This is an emergency product.
I would request, we have a big state report, at least I do, that takes July. Not that that's anyone else's problem but mine. But
we value your input.
So is the direction that you want us to bring you something, or do you want to continue that discussion on the 15th and bring
some of your ideas? I propose that we let this go to the fall and give us a chance to, I'd like to wander around and just see what see what's out there, because the main street and these main thoroughfares have stretched. It used to be just a small place down. I think of the old 7-Up building and the old Peterson Plumbing that was a Safeway store, and going on the other end, there's old buildings like that. Look at that old train depot down there that Decor Works. Man, talk about a.
Are you an architect?
Going from an.
No, but can I make it?
But he wants.
Oh, sure.
But he wants to be.
I'd love it. We need all the input we can.
My name is David Busk. I am. I'm the past chair of Vision Iron County. You mentioned Vision 2050. We've kind of evolved since then. They're a nonprofit group now, and we've got committees established in that 501c3, and one of those is community character. And we are in the process now. We've contracted with Kimsey Gardner to do a survey of Iron County residents to ask them these questions, right? What do they want this to look like? What materials do they want to see? And so we're in the process of that. We've had that out for, I think we're going on the second week of that survey. It might just be helpful to give us some time to get that survey complete, and then we can offer that to the committee. And
so when do you anticipate
that in your decision making?
I like that.
When do you anticipate that being done?
So Scott Levitt is leading that effort for us right now, and I have to check in with him. I can't give you a date, but I would think we want to run that for about 30 to 45 days, get as many people to respond, and we can certainly send that to the commission and give you all a chance to, put in your two cents and respond to the survey. But give us some time. I would say probably 45 days, and then we'll have that. And then Kim C. Gardner will do their thing, boil all that data down and put that in a easy to digest report, and we can share that. So it might be, so when you're thinking about time,
yeah,
just know that's happening in the community and we could help.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
I mean, we're for the people, so.
Let's put this off to the fall.
So,
I like that.
Okay, just putting it out there. Well, I'll send it to all you guys.
Can we move this to the first week of September?
That would be September 2nd.
And if we could always move it to adjust it. I mean, again, this isn't an emergency. This just,
it's not.
As we grow and change, and let's have the conversation.
Could I make a suggestion,
sure,
on that? Since we don't know exactly when we're going to get this additional information, I don't think we need to say we're going to take it up on a certain date.
We don't.
Why don't we just say, okay, this has been a good discussion so far. Let's take this discussion and have everyone kind of individually give it some more thought, but then let's look for that other information. And when we get it, then we come back for another group discussion.
I like
so
that.
You'll be presenting that to, the city, or that's so we can find out so there could be some contact. They could say, we have it.
Yeah, so once we have that data, we'll, that information survey, we'll share that with you. We'll share that with City Council.
Okay.
Not just in Cedar City, right, but across Iron County. We'll get that information
all right,
as broad as we can.
Kit, that's a great idea.
Great. Thank you.
So,
before we adjourn.
Well, there's one other item.
Pete, let me just, point of interest, Mr. Gardner, who sat on this commission on First West, you need to drive down the street and see the fruition of what we talked about and what our vision was and what he ended up. You just need to go see it.
Which project is it?
It's outstanding. Film? The tiny homes.
Oh, it's the old garden yes. house.
Are you the developer? Are you the developer on that?
Yes.
Are you the designer of it?
No.
No.
He doesn't have anything to do with it.
This Mr. Gardner that's...
Is it
talking about Ray
Gardner? Ray Gardner.
Ray Gardner, yes. Yeah.
They're working on it.
Is it completed? Or?
They're up and out, and it's looking good. It's going to be just exactly what
that's
I
great.
Envisioned and what this...
They do one in one day. They come in, and it's not finished, but it's like...
It's,
wow, that's like someone wiggled their nose.
We spent a lot of time on that DA.
Yes, yeah. We did.
Actually, I should give credit to Amber on trying to get those homes to look like the DA.
It's going to be an asset.
Can someone tell me the square footage of those?
I don't know.
Five.
I don't recall, Tom.
Okay.
Tom, did you want to discuss item number four?
Yeah, there's one other last item. So property is getting more and more and more expensive. People are complaining more and more and more about people parking on the streets.
It's your fault.
And so we, the state and the city has recognized that we are limited on our water resources as it relates to landscaping. So I'd like to have a discussion pertaining to parking within the setbacks of the different zones within the city. Now, if you have CC&Rs that dictate that, then you follow the CC&Rs because that's a private contract. But there are homes in this town and apartments and so forth that are being built that I see their landscaping. I think, wow, do they need really a 25-foot landscape strip across the front of their property? Can we utilize that frontage for parking some automobiles within that 25 feet setback. I'm not proposing more driveways. Maybe the parking would be perpendicular with the street. You have to back into your own driveway to get out. So I'm not suggesting more cars backing out necessarily onto the street. And I'd like to see us have some discussions. Again, I've spoken with Don about this. Don has some thoughts, not necessarily right or wrong, but he brings some really neat thoughts up with regard to it. And maybe Don's going to show us a few ideas.
All right.
We discussed. And again, I don't have a project in mind on this. I think we need to consider making changes.
Mr. Boudreaux.
All right. So parking the front setbacks. Again, we haven't had a whole lot of time to chew on this.
And I'm not asking for a moment.
But in general, in your residential zones, any portion of your lot that fronts a street is supposed to be landscaped, the setback, and not have vehicles parked on it, with the exception, of course, of your driveways that lead, or maybe you don't even have a garage, but you can park on a driveway within your setbacks, and I think that's kind of a no-brainer. Within the commercial zones, our landscape, our minimum landscape strip is minimal. It's 5 feet. It's not a whole lot. Most cities will have more. As long as you can provide the totality of the landscape elsewhere and it can be seen. So you notice all new developments will have
they'll typically just go right to the minimum, which is 5 feet in your commercial zones. I'm going to start with the general plan again. I'm going to try to be as brief as possible. So this is 26.3.2. This is where it talks about your landscape. This is ordinance, not general plan. No, that's my fault. This is where it talks about it's supposed to be planted with trees and landscape, and then that carries through to all your different residential zones, so your R2, R3, et cetera. And then 26.5.21 is where it talks about you're not supposed to park in the required landscape areas with the exception of permitted driveways. Next slide, please, Kent. So, again, we're just looking at the general plan. Commercial industrial developments should provide adequate buffer and screening treatments to protect the desirability and amenities of adjoining properties. We do require landscape. This is not the front setback, but between commercial and residential properties, that is about the only buffer we require besides a fence. Objective 3-1.7, regulate setbacks, landscaping, our appropriate lighting, signs, and other design amenities that complement and enhance the streetscape and design of new development through the zoning ordinance. I think it's obvious that's why that landscaping ordinance is there, is the character of the community. And it also says we should make sure that our standards for parking and landscaping are clearly standard and that we enforce them. Next slide, please. So here's current ordinance. This is a PUD. I think this one's on Northfield. You can see that, in my opinion, those landscape setbacks go a long ways in regards to the character of what these housing developments ultimately look like. That's probably, well, it's a PUD. It may have been a 20-foot setback. I don't know whenever this was developed. Can you show the next slide, Kent? Here's another. These are some apartments, same aesthetic. These would look much different if we parked in those front setbacks. Next slide, Kent. Here's a good example of parking in the front setback with nothing. I think it's a stark contrast. I mean, this isn't residential. I forget what use that is.
School district.
It's the alternative school, yeah.
Yeah, but you can see. But we should at least have some decent curb stops there before we hit pedestrians if we don't have a landscape. Next slide. I don't know where this is at, but this is parking in your front landscape, perpendicular to your public right-of-way. Next slide. And what are the benefits? You know, we ask ourselves that. Why do we regulate these things? Well, we can talk about property values. We heard a whole lot about that tonight. Economic investment. It is what do your neighborhoods look like? What do your commercial boulevards ultimately look like? If we are trying to get the next big manufacturer from back east, and they got to bring their top dogs, bring their engineers, what do they see in Cedar that they don't see elsewhere? Or do they keep driving? Because that's not the kind of place that really cares about the character of their community. Temperature regulation, urban heat island, I think we've all heard of that. Improved air quality. Stormwater runoff is a big one. We're probably going to have to see more landscaping and more detention ponds as the city hits 50,000 folks. Health and wellness, I know these are a little more warm and fuzzy, but they are all there. Biodiversity, of course, and then character is a big one, or we could say aesthetics. Next slide. Okay, that's it. So those are just my thoughts about why we do these things. Is the magic number 25 feet? Maybe, maybe not. That is our standard front setback in all of our residential zones. That creates a character of the community. I hate to say it's kind of the American dream type thing with the white picket fence, but it is kind of in our culture to have these front landscape lawns where the kids play, hopefully neighbors talk and get along. That's all part of having those landscape setbacks. We may, if we add to that, it'll change the look. Kent might even want to address, once we get a lot of cars in those front yards, we may want to start thinking about, vision impacts, circulation, probably some safety concerns here or there. My thought was if it were to be reduced, then this is something Tom and I talked about, then I think we would probably want to increase our landscape requirements and not necessarily just a pile of gravel, which I don't think fits in our ordinance either way, but we may want to see berms. We may want to see things as a trade. If you want extra parking, then we want to soften the blow aesthetically. So that concludes my report here.
Thank you, Don. One.
Thank you, Don.
Good. I just wondered if I could make some comments to kind of follow on Don's. And so I wanted to just zoom into, how do I turn off those streets? Anyone know which layer that's on? I guess I'll just turn everything off I can find. Mm-hmm. See if, still didn't go away. All right, I guess it's part of the base map. One of the things I wanted to comment on, actually, whatever I turned off, made it worse. There we go. The wanted to look at a couple of our commercial projects on Main Street, just looking at kind of the contrast on them. This is the shopping center where Harbor Freight, Deseret Book, that mm-hmm. is, right? We have the parking right up next to the sidewalk along this area. You compare that to what's across the street at the Smiths with an amount of landscaping in there. It's not a large amount. I'd love to see it be more. Just by way of comparison, the last city I worked for in commercial areas, it was a 20-foot landscape strip that was required on all new development in commercial areas, other than in the zero setback downtown core, right, the historic downtown. But you look at that, and one of my interests on this, given my background, is I'm looking at traffic safety. When we have on our major roadways, especially, when we have these entrances and then you immediately come to a drive aisle, that creates traffic safety operational problems at every one of those entrances. As cars try to come in, there's a car that is, stuck here waiting for another car to move out, and the driver can't get all the way off the road, and that creates a safety issue. So this kind of development here where we have the parking up so close, and we have some locations that are even worse where there aren't even parking stalls there, we've just got a drive aisle and then you dump right onto the street. Those are very poor for traffic safety. We come to the other side of the street, we've got a deeper throat here, is what I would refer to this as, on this drive approach, because in addition to the depth of the parking stalls, we also have that additional depth from the landscaping that pushes that back. This driveway is able to operate more safely than the driveway across the street. Okay, so that's one point I wanted to make. Maybe taking that a little further, we go down to this newer shopping center, okay?
Where are we at?
This is where Christensen's is, okay, McDonald's, yeah. Can't remember, Boulevard Home.
Yep.
Okay, so here you look at this, we've got a wider landscape strip here, and plus the parking, this throat ends up being quite a bit deeper. On the opposite side of the drive aisle, we don't have anything until we get down here to the where the cars are coming out of the McDonald's drive-through. So this provides a better environment for that traffic coming on and off. The other entrance, where we have a long throat here, that's a traffic engineer's dream, to have a nice long throat before you get to the roadway, where there are no parking, there's no drive aisles coming on and off of that. It functions a lot safer. So I guess the reason I bring that up is I'm just thinking that if we allow parking to come, right up to the right-of-way line or near the right-of-way line, that makes things much more challenging for trying to safely operate drive approaches coming on and off of the arterial streets. So that was the only point I wanted to make.
So one of the things that initiated this, in addition to the to what I said about land and people parking on the streets and complaints and snow plows and all that kind of stuff, is engineering is having some discussions right now and about landscape curbing. And correct me if I'm speaking out of turn here.
Go ahead. I wasn't sure where you were going with the comment, so keep going.
Oh, with mow curbs, you know, that would be the, you have the sidewalk, then you have a 6, 8, 10 foot strip of landscape, then you have the sidewalk, and then you have more, like you go to Dogtown out here, or you go to your neighborhood. I think you have mow strips, don't you?
Until I put gravel on them, and now I don't
know. Okay, we'll call them landscape strips, and so we have those when it comes to it, that I'd like us to consider in our conversations about as part of the landscape. So people that have a mow curb, again, I'll give you a good example. I own a couple pieces of property in over in Dogtown. They're 9 feet wide mow strips that are buying a weed, but they haven't been developed yet. Mm-hmm. And so,
what is Dogtown?
Dogtown is everything from East Elementary. Well, your house by my new home.
That's Dogtown.
That's called Dogtown. Great. That's, am I correct? Is that called?
Jennifer's like, it's for sale now.
Yeah, that's it. Saddleback to Dogtown.
Yep.
There are city council.
Your property just dropped 20,000.
Everything represented.
You can go back to the mayor's handbook and read from a early 1930s handbook that told the town marshal, wasn't a town chief of police, town marshal, either you get rid of those dogs in Dogtown or we're getting rid of you.
Oh.
And it's been called Dogtown.
Nobody, all right.
Probably long before that.
Nobody told Jennifer. Now she's invested in this property.
I know.
Which has just dropped $20,000 in the last 5 minutes.
It has. But more importantly, I am hungry. And I don't get, I'm kind of ornery when I am. So what are you proposing?
Well, I'm not proposing anything. I want to bring this up, first of all, for a conversation for us to even, we have to, even before we can propose anything. I think Don can have some meetings with Don, and Don can create some ideas behind this on what other communities have done in addition to this. I don't think we should be absolutely set that we don't want to have conversations about, you know, new thoughts, new ideas. You know, I'm just telling you, it won't be probably 20 years from now that very few of us are going to even have cars. We're going to have robo-taxis come pick us up and take us everywhere. Maybe the nursing home for me.
And we don't need to worry about it.
Well, I'm just saying, things are changing, but as families increase and lots and so forth,
we
should have a conversation with regard to this.
Okay. So I think what we've seen today is, you know, the examples that were given are all reasons why we shouldn't allow parking and setbacks. And I tend to agree
on the commercial side
with staff. I tend to agree with staff because
you could have the same issues that Ken is bringing up on a large multifamily development. Yep. Henley Apartments comes to my mind.
Yeah.
Right.
Where we were really dealing with that entrance. Kent can speak to it more intelligently than me, but with the massive amount of units and the challenges that pose.
Yeah.
And, right. And if we grant those, we can adjust. This is what you have to do. You have to create, his words, a deeper throat if you want this type of, if you want this type of scenario. It's all about a trade-off.
Well, again, speaking as somebody who's short-lived on the commission, but, you know, my advice to the commission moving forward on this would be to you know, if this is something that you want to look at doing, you need to find examples of where it works. Because I'm guarantee I can find you examples of where it doesn't.
Oh, I agree with you.
But so you need to find examples of where it works. And then you need to tailor any ordinance change that you would make to be very specific so that it so it only allows for those areas that it works and you don't end up with the negative impacts that would come from this kind of change.
Absolutely.
Because
Don's overworked already. And so to say, hey, Don, you know, you need to find some things. No, if you want to propose something, then find some ideas of where it works rather than, you know, pushing that off to, you know, to us or to Don, because we're not vested.
But Don has access we don't want to those changes. Pretty websites.
Everything
I know.
Has Don.
Everything
Don
is successful.
Plenty. Don, you have plenty to do, don't you?
He does. So I
don't tell personnel.
I'm of the opinion that we have other bigger fish to fry to worry about than making things, you know, not function as well and not look as good. So, you know, where I stand on how our city looks.
And I prefer the east side of Main Street at Smith's.
Agreed.
With the trees, the lawn, and the longer driveways so my car doesn't get hit and my wife doesn't get mad at me.
Right. It's safer. It looks better.
If there's a busted
all of the things.
Rusty
so.
That's right.
Got to have that.
But that's just me.
Okay. Well, I'm done with my presentation.
All right. Is there any further discussion to be had on this item?
Yeah. I'd like to personally say thank you for your leadership.
Yep.
Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure serving with you on this commission. I'm surprised it's only been 8 years, honestly. Wow. It feels like longer. No, I'm just kidding. No, it's surprising it's 8 years went that fast. It really is. But I'm grateful for your friendships. I'm grateful for your input and your being able to work with you on all these items. I'm grateful for staff. You know, I really want to say thank you for how hard you work. I really do see it in the time that you put into these items. So, if there's nothing else, we will be adjourned.
Will you send us a postcard from Hawaii?
I will send you a postcard.